This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Khoo Chong with the top business stories of the day. We begin with pensions. Malaysia has retained its C rating in this year's Melbourne Mercer Global Pensions Index, ahead of most Asian countries, but still with a lot of room for improvement. Just give you a quick look at a comparison between us and our neighbours. We have a C, but Singapore gets a B and Indonesia gets a D. Are we happy? Is this report card you take home to mummy and daddy?
Yes, yeah, so according to this report card, Malaysia's overall index value saw an increase from last year's 55.7 points to this year's 57.7 points. So this index measures 30 countries and covers 60% of the world's population.
So is there an improvement? We talked about it retaining that C grade, mm-hmm. but I think there's something more granular in the report as well, in part on our record, right?
Right. And there is an improvement from the overall index. So you can see this improvement in index is due to like if the countries have had high real economic growth during the last 3 years and where this is projected to continue during the next 3 years. So these countries include China, India, Indonesia, Ireland and Malaysia.
Do you think, I guess, you know, this is quite statistical, but at ground level, do you think pensions have, or rather pension savings have actually increased? Because the structural problems remain, wages remain, relatively stagnant, costs keep on going up. And, also the fact that mortality rates are improving, right? So people are getting older and staying alive longer.
Yes. So one of the things, Malaysia has a strong pension infrastructure with some good features, but however, there are several major risks that should be addressed. This is what they pointed out. One of it is because the public sector pension system will only get more expensive over time, and there are still far too many Malaysians without access to any form of pension savings.
Yeah, so the issue that comes up is the question of sustainability. And we might actually compare ourselves to, say, Japan and looking at the problems that they and challenges they have.
That's right, Sharad. So Japan, Austria, Italy and France are examples of developed economies whose pension systems don't represent a sustainable model. And that's because of their aging population. In a way, sustainability is a big thing for pension funds. So this could also be also due to a lack of assets set aside for the future, low labour force participation at older ages, and basically just the aging population growth.
Yeah, it's a real problem in Malaysia. I mean, it's not even a Malaysian problem. It's a worldwide problem because structurally, I guess Malaysia struggles with, versus developed countries because obviously the more educated you are, the more skilled you are, then the higher the salary you can command. And the more salary you can command, the more you can put aside and invest in for the future. So, I mean, a lot of Malaysians rely solely on the EPF. And let me just say, right, the EPF has done a really good job in at least the last 5 years because they've returned. The lowest was, I think, 2016, where they gave you back 5.7% return. But every other year in the 4 years preceding last year was over 6%. So that's a really good dividend yield.
Yeah, in terms of total value, for 2016, they gave a dividend credited to members' account in total value was $37 billion, compared to 2012, that was $27 billion. But maybe because the members also grew in numbers.
I mean, one of the things that, coming back to the question of comparison, right? So Malaysia's overall index value score was 57.7, slightly below the average of 59.9. And to sum up, as it were, what the nature of our pension system is. We scored higher than average for integrity and sustainability, but lower than average on adequacy. But what does adequacy really mean in this regard?
Maybe for the number of people who have pension funds or who have access to pension funds, perhaps it's not adequate enough. But for integrity and sustainability, we are higher than average.
You know what I understand? In fact, we have Balkis Yusuf, EPF's head of strategy management, says that 78% of the 6.7 million active contributors do not have the basic amount for their retirement. Now, what is the basic amount? Well, it's defined as a predetermined amount set according to the age in account one to enable members to achieve a minimum savings of some 228,000 when they reach the age of 55. So most of us don't have that. And that's quite shocking because the question is, and even if you did, what do those numbers really represent?
Yeah, it's about 950 per month. And this is for 20 years. That's the assumption, right? So 55 years up to 75 years old. And life expectancy is expected to improve moving forward, right? Because of science, technology, improvement. So yeah, that's definitely an issue to look into.
Well, the fact of the matter is EPF, as they get bigger, as you know, as the fund size gets bigger, they have to invest in more and more areas so that obviously they can keep on returning good dividends to Malaysians, right? Because that's a national obligation. But, you know, I guess that is one of the reasons why the EPF, I think, overnight said that they're not going to sell Plus Highways, because the news has been Tan Sri Abu Sahid of Manjur Expressways wants to take over Plus Expressways. He says he's got all the components in place to table a 36 billion ringgit bid for Plus Highways. But according to the narrative posted by the finance minister to yesterday, Dato Jogani, saying, you know, obviously it's a bit of a national obligation. And then today the EPF saying that they're not going to be selling their plus stakes. So it looks as if the Abu Sahid overture is kind of like dead in the water.
So the question, of course, is, you know, and the larger question is, why is Plus such an attractive acquisition target?
Yeah, I think perhaps because of the strong, it's a strong cash generator. Between 2011 and 2015, Plus's net profit has ranged between 21.4 million ringgit to as high as 62.4 million ringgit. So that's a lot, right? And cumulative dividend payout was 2.8 billion ringgit. I mean, obviously, if you want to look into it, it makes a compelling asset for anyone who wants a sustainable cash flow.
Yeah, you know, when the government took out Plus in 2010, I think, they paid 23 billion ringgit in an all-cash deal. Khazanah owns about 51% of Plus, EPF 49%. You know, that deal at the time was the biggest corporate deal in Malaysian history. If Abu Sahid wants to get his deal through, it would be by some margin the biggest ever corporate bid in Malaysia, because at 36 billion ringgit, it will eclipse the government's own takeout of Plus by 15 billion ringgit. So, you know, 13 billion ringgit, yeah.
Well, since we're on the topic of mergers and acquisitions, a corporate M&A exercise making news today. Top Glove Corporation says that it will be acquiring the privately held surgical glove operations of Adventa Berhad.
Yeah, so this is the Edge Financial Daily story quoting two industry sources who have said that Top Glove is said to be acquiring the privately held surgical glove business of Adventa Berhad. Adventa is listed, but this business is not. And they actually transferred this glove business out to its managing director, Lo Ching Guan, in 2012, and Adventa started to focus on medical services. So basically, this is a M&A theme that we're looking at. Perhaps, you know, the source told the Edge Financial Daily that it's possible that Adventa surgical glove operations under Terang Nusa Group could be a target.
Well, Top Glove has actually made quite public their intentions to go from 25% global market share to 30% global market share. They also said, I think last week, Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai, that they were in the very close, 99% close to closing a deal, which is about 1 billion ringgit. So Adventa, on the back of that speculation, and I've got my Bloomberg open again, in the last 3 days, that share price of Adventa has gone from 65 cents to a peak of 92 cents a couple of days ago.
Wow.
And then closed at 83.5. Now, is it Adventa or is it Supermax, which is the other rubber glove target that the newspapers were speculating?
Yeah, so last week, Nikkei Markets, quoting a dealer, reported that the closest glove maker which meets the criteria that could sell its glove unit to Top Glove is Supermax. So this was last week, and you can see that Supermax's share price closed up 9 cents or 4.62% yesterday at 2 ringgit 4 cents.
Now, moving on, down south, Singapore, one of the world's most expensive places to own a vehicle, says that it will not allow any growth in its car population from February, citing the small city-state's land scarcity and billions of dollars in planned public transport investments. Fascinating, because they're saying that they're really just capping it for the foreseeable future.
I mean, the global development has been towards hybrid vehicles, electric vehicles, battery-powered vehicles. I think Sweden, among other countries, have also ruled out all diesel cars to be shifted out by 2030. I think Volvo has also said no more diesel or petrol-powered cars by 2030.
You know, Kuan Chung, there's a fascinating discussion on pushback on some of the subsidies that have led to the growth of electric cars, because electric cars are large, they're very heavy, they still contribute to... No, know, their carbon footprint's low, right?
But no, in terms of the component structure of the electric vehicles, have a carbon footprint the size of a woolly mammoth.
Do they?
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing. So there's a pushback on that to reduce the subsidies. They're heavy, and they actually put stress on the road surfaces. You know,
The main reason why Tesla takes up space on the road.
Government subsidies are the main reason why Tesla have been selling ginormous units of cars in Norway, in the UK, and in Hong Kong. Because of government subsidies.
I love the use of the word ginormous. It's taking us up all the way till 9 o'clock. We have the bulletin. We'll be back with the opening numbers on the stock market and more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.